Recorded Books and RB Digital present Still Life by Danny Petrie. Narrated by Therese Plummer. Prologue. He glanced around what had become a dumping ground by the river's edge. Dark, silent, deserted. Perfect. Popping the trunk of his car, he hefted the heavy garment bag out and trudged through the mud, the foul odor of rotting garbage and brackish water pungent on the wind lashing his face. A thunderstorm was brewing, churning the humid air. Lightning pierced the murky sky. He found a fitting spot and tossed her away like the trash she was. Chapter 1. Inhaling a steadying breath of the steamy August Baltimore air, Avery Tate paused a moment, clutching the metal door handle. This was it. Her first return to the Baltimore art scene since she'd been ostracized over a year ago. Her grip tightened. One more breath of the thick, sticky air, and she yanked the cherry wood and beveled glass door open. The cool of the gallery's AC rushed over her, rippling up her bare arms, her red satin dress thankfully not clinging to her after the muggy 10-minute walk from the parking spot she'd been lucky enough to find. An event like this made parking insane in Fells Point. The frenzy of conversation and lilting music buzzed as she stepped farther inside Christopher Fuller's gallery. Her right heel wobbled, every nerve ending alive and dancing beneath her skin, whether from the cool of the building or from the circumstances, she didn't know. But she fortified her gait and took another step forward. She could fake walking in heels. How hard could it be? One step at a time. You can do this. Hold your head high. She'd overcome so much more than this petty group encircling her. The only reason the ostracism had hit so hard was because photography was where her heart lived, or had. Now it lived for Parker. A man of such depth, such sincerity, albeit mixed with a playful spirit she adored, and why was she thinking about Parker Mitchell again? It had been 6 months since they'd worked together as crime scene investigator and crime scene photographer. 9 months since she'd fully realized the depth of her feelings for him. But she swallowed, the motion painful. Parker could never be hers, at least not fully. Part of his heart, a huge part, would always belong to Jenna McCrae. She understood. Jenna was Parker's first love, and her devastating murder 7 years ago, when Jenna was just shy of her 18th birthday, had been horrific. But Avery couldn't spend the rest of her life with a man who loved someone else so deeply, a man who loved another woman more than her. Forcing her attention back where it belonged, at least for tonight, she squared her shoulders and assessed her surroundings, as Parker had taught her to do. Man, he lived in her head, her thoughts always drifting to him and their time together. Oh, she still saw him through mutual friends, but she could no longer handle working side by side. Unless she could permanently be at his side, she couldn't continue long hours, late nights, and close proximity in his lab. She missed him something terrible. Avery Tate, is that you? She needn't bother turning to find it was Marjorie Thrasher. Her effervescent voice, the unmistakable combo of shrill pitch and Yonkers accent, readily identified the elderly yet vivacious woman. Of all the people to run into first, Marjorie was a great one. Avery turned, well, teetered around, praying her heels held firm on the recently buffed hardwood floor. Marjorie's copper-painted lips puckered. Oh, darling, I knew it was you. Whatever are you doing here? Her faux lashes fluttered as she looked Avery up and down. Don't tell me you're back in the crowd. No, most definitely not.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?